All right, that is Decisions from Outer National, and you are listening to The Michael Slate Show. My name is Sansara Taylor. I am guest hosting again this week. I'm so happy and honored to be here on behalf of Michael as he is going through what hopefully will be winding up soon, some medical intervention in his life, which will be really good for all of us when he's back. So our love to Michael, and I'm very honored to be here on his behalf today. We have a great show for you. We're going to hear from Lenny Wolf, who is speaking about the intensifying moves between the U.S. superpower in the world and China, also a rival imperialist superpower on the one hand, nuclear chicken, a whole host of warmongering and dangerous moves escalating this rivalry, threatening the lives and safety of people here and around the world, and especially in the regions near China. Also, the rivalry between the U.S. and Russia and how we should understand this. Where are the interests of the people when the imperialists fight? So that's going to be very important. Lenny Wolf is a follower of the revolutionary leader, Baba Bacon, an advocate for the new communism, and it's a great segment. So we're going to start with that. Then we are going to hear from Baba Bacon directly from an excerpt of his 2018 talk, Why We Need an Actual Revolution and How We Can Really Make Revolution, talking about false paths and dead ends. And the real solution, what we really need to get free, these two segments work together. And it's so profoundly important because I know the listener, you are people who are concerned about the world. You are people who want to know where to take those concerns, not to have them run into a cul-de-sac of a dead end and you get circled right back into the same system that led to these horrors in the first place. How do we get to the root? That's what radical is. Go to the root, dig the problem up by the root. So this segment from Baba Bacon is going to take us there. And then finally, we have a great interview between Andy Z, who is the main host of the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show, which I co-host together with him on YouTube, and the author and writer and academic scholar, Paul Street. Paul Street writes frequently for Counterpunch. He's the author of at least 9 books. And he has been very active in the fight against fascism in this country as part of Refuse Fascism, also with the Rise Up for Abortion Rights movement. And so he is going to be talking about how he sees those stakes right now, and in particular, some of the controversy that has come up. We covered it some last week, and we're staying on it because there are lessons to draw from it. The controversy of a lot of the unprincipled COINTELPRO style attacks against Rise Up for Abortion Rights, against the RevComs, against Baba Bacon that have been taking place, getting amplified in the media, and how to answer these and the lessons to draw from it. So it's going to be a great show. And with that, let's get started with Lenny Wolf.
For the past several weeks, the website RevCom.us has been exposing what is behind the controversy over the Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi's trip to Taiwan. The article this week says Pelosi's early August trip to the island of Taiwan was a major and dangerous provocation by U.S. imperialism against its nuclear-armed rival, China. Pelosi left Taiwan, but the U.S. imperialists have continued to rapidly escalate their game of nuclear chicken with China, a game which threatens the very future of humanity. How dangerous is it? No less an authority than the infamous U.S. war criminal Henry Kissinger, a man who oversaw 5 years of the slaughter in Vietnam and Indochina, and who orchestrated the bloody coup that brought down an elected government in Chile, said, quote, "We are at the edge of war with Russia and China on issues which we partly created, without any concept of how this is going to end or what it's supposed to lead to." The articles on RevCom have drilled down beneath the phrases of defending democracy to show you the real class interests at work here. When this show is over, If you haven't read those articles yet, go read them. But the point I want to make in this segment is where the interests of humanity lie in all this, and how other radical political forces are falling out. These rulers of the U.S. are telling you that China is your enemy. But in actual fact, China is their enemy.
But they have an overall goal to become the leading country in the world, the wealthiest country in the world, and the most powerful country in the world. That's not going to happen on my watch.
China is their rival for the number one exploiter and oppressor of the people of the world. And they want you to line up behind them in their fight to stay on top. What Bob Avakian said a few months ago about America's proxy war with Russia in Ukraine, which, by the way, is an ongoing bloodbath of the Ukrainian people that could still very quickly and unexpectedly escalate to something far worse, essentially holds true here. Quote, "The interests of the imperialists on both sides who are involved in this war are not the same as, and in fact are in fundamental opposition to, the interests of the masses of people." Pause on that. The interests of the imperialists on both sides. The U.S. imperialists, your rulers, have for decades squeezed the blood out of the people of Asia, Africa, and Latin America. The clothes on our backs, the cell phone in your pocket, that nice flat screen TV on your wall, even your ecologically correct solar panels or hybrid cars, all those items that they want to stupefy you into taking for granted come from the backs and the blood of the people of the world, millions of them children, super exploited in sweatshops owned by the U.S. imperialists, often in competition with similar sweatshops owned by the Chinese imperialists. Don't let them bribe you or blind you with these goodies. These are human beings just like you who are slaving away to create that wealth. And yes, China is imperialist and not socialist or somehow on the side of the people, despite what some so-called leftists may tell you. China hasn't been socialist for nearly 50 years, since the great revolutionary leader Mao Zedong died and his comrades were overthrown by a clique that decided to keep the name socialist while turning the country into a capitalist hell. Those new rulers have built themselves up over time, and now they're flexing their muscles. And both of these bloody empires, America and China, are caught in a trap. If they don't keep expanding their domination and plunder, if they let their rival get the edge, for them, that's the equivalent of death. That domination and plunder is what they are contending over. That is what they are preparing to risk nuclear war and the very existence of humanity over. That is what they are either whipping you up about or else keeping you sedated over. Yes, the Democrats as well as the Republic fascists. And in this case, actually, the warmongering is coming directly from the Democrats that you are being told to line up behind this November as your last hope. Because both the fascists and the Democrats, however much they are at each other's throats over how to rule this empire, are agreed that the empire itself must stand and must be ready to fight for its position, even if that fight risks the destruction of humankind. But don't worry. After all, we've got Bernie and AOC and the rest of the socialists in Congress. And here's what they said to condemn this provocative act of Pelosi and the rest. That's right. We searched online for comments. We contacted their office and we couldn't find anything. In fact, Bernie's representative said very cheerfully, "We don't have anything for you now." Want to know why? Bernie's whole project of a more equitable division of the wealth would be nothing without the spoils plundered by America from the rest of the world. The whole project of Bernie and the squad, quiet as it's kept, also rests on make America first, even if they don't want to be quite as crude as Trump about it. If you're someone who joined the Democratic Socialists of America or the DSA because you really do care about humanity and not just the people who happen to live in this country, and because you think that or you thought that electing socialists like Bernie will make for a more just world or at least won't do any harm, maybe you need to come to grips with the logic of Bernie's position and with what humanity really needs: a revolution against all empires and all forms of oppression. But what about those leaders of the woke movements, some of whom over the past 2 months have trained their fire on trying to cancel, or worse, Bob Avakian, the RevComs, and the mass organization Rise Up for Abortion Rights? Well, here's what they've been saying. Surprised? You shouldn't be. Here's a point that Bob Avakian made last year. Quote, "It's striking that so many woke people do not expose and condemn the fact that the country they are living in, the good old USA, has, over nearly a century, been the most powerful imperialist oppressor in the world and the greatest destroyer of the environment, doing the greatest harm to humanity. How much, in all the woke talk about privilege, is there a denouncing and renouncing of American privilege, of American supremacy, and American chauvinism? How much a clear-cut stand that American imperialism should be firmly opposed in its attempt to maintain its position as number one oppressor worldwide, and that the masses of people in this country have no interests and no stake in American imperialism's rivalry with China, itself a rising capitalist imperialist power? How much a reckoning with the fact that people in this country share, even though quite unequally, in the spoils that come from American imperialism's plunder of the world's people, including masses of children? How much an orientation and declaration that it would be far better to do without these spoils by doing away with American imperialism and struggling together with people all over the world to be rid of all imperialism and all relations of exploitation and oppression, all plunder of people, as well as the environment? Not very much." That quote is from the article, "Revolution and Emancipation, Not Petty Reform and Revenge, on Movements, Principles, Methods, Means and Ends." Look, things are coming to a head around the world and in a very concentrated way within this country itself. We, all of us, have to draw a bold line between the interests of humanity and the interests of America's empire. And we, all of us, have to choose the side of humanity. It's one or the other. And the future really is a choice, as B.A. says in his extremely important work, between something terrible or something truly emancipating. If you like what we say on this show, you need to come in tighter. And as a first step, help us to rapidly expand our audience. And you need to get deeper into BA Bob Avakian. Read and listen to what they so desperately don't want you to check out, what they so desperately slander. Get with, get into, help build the movement for the revolution humanity so desperately needs and the new communism brought forward by Bob Avakian.
Is Gabby Flugmogel on violin. And right before that, you were listening to Lenny Wolf. And that was a segment he put together for the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show, which broadcasts on YouTube, youtube.com/therevcoms. But right now you are listening to the Michael Slate show. And my name is Sansara Taylor. I'm very proud to be a guest host today on behalf of Michael. In that segment, Lenny Wolf talked about American privilege. He talked about the danger we are facing. Not just in this country, but we, the people of the world, we, all of humanity, that's the we talk about on this show, the danger we are facing of the potential for war, even nuclear war, with the dangerous moves being made by the US and by China, both imperialist countries. And yes, by the Democrats as well as the Republicans. They are not the same. They are at each other's throats. They have very different visions for the empire, but they are both serving the empire. And that is different than our interests, than the interests of humanity. With that, we want to move forward into our program with an excerpt of the 2018 speech given by the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. He's also the architect of the new communism. He is an important, profound thinker, a voice of revolution that we bring you regularly on this program. Somebody who's re-envisioned revolution and communism for the world today in this era and has really been a long distance fighter in the freedom struggle since the 60s, never backing down, never giving in, a profound voice. And this is from his speech, Why a Revolution is Necessary and How to Make a Real Revolution, on the real solution up against false paths and dead ends. Let's listen to Bob Avakian.
From all this, it stands out very sharply that we live in a grossly lopsided world, a world where a few dozen billionaires have as much wealth as the poorer half of humanity. And a small number of ruling classes in a small number of countries dominate, oppress, and control the destiny of the masses of humanity with consequences that are already terrible and could before long become catastrophic. And in everything that I've been shining a light on regarding the world we live in, under the domination of capitalism, imperialism, we are seeing the consequences of a system based on the private appropriation by competing centers of capital of wealth that is socially produced through networks of production involving vast numbers, ultimately billions of people all over the globe, who are forced now to work in conditions and relations of production that exploit and dehumanize them. It is not simply greed that drives these capitalists to constantly seek ways to more ruthlessly exploit people. It is the fact that if they do not do this, or some other capitalists do it more successfully, that is, even more ruthlessly, then they will face the prospect of not just falling behind, but actually going under, eaten up by other capitalist sharks. It is the private appropriation of socially produced wealth and the anarchy, the feverish competition and contention that results from this, which ultimately underlies and drives all the horrors that are concentrated in the five stops and the conditions to which the masses of humanity are continually subjected. The solution is to replace this system of private appropriation with a system where the socially produced wealth is also socially appropriated by a government actually representing the masses of people instead of a class of capitalist exploiters. And this wealth is then utilized on the basis of conscious planning in the interests and for the benefit of the people of society and ultimately the whole world. How this can be done is spelled out in the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic in North America. This is the fundamental difference between the society and world we have with the system of capitalism and imperialism that we are forced to live under and the world we could have. The bridge between these two worlds is revolution, a real revolution. Let's be honest. This is a difficult road, but there is no other way to finally put an end to the horrors that are continually brought forth by this system. And as hard as this is, it is possible if we go about it the right way, with the right outlook and approach, the right goals and methods, the right strategy and plan. So this is what I'm going to dig into through the course of this talk. First, let's return to the crucial question of what revolution really means. At the very beginning of how we can win, this is made very clear. An actual revolution does not mean trying to make some changes within the system. It means overthrowing this system and bringing into being a radically different and far better system. Radical means getting to the root, digging up the old system by its roots and replacing it with a fundamentally different system. And what opens the way to doing this is shattering the rule of capitalism over society. Through defeating and dismantling its institutions, such as the police and armed forces, that violently enforce this system's rule, and then bringing into being new institutions that serve the radical transformation of society and ultimately the world as a whole. How this could be done is something I will speak to in the second part of this talk. Here, I want to underline the point that this is completely different than just winning some reforms under this system. Certain government concessions to the fight against injustice, for example, civil rights legislation, DACA, which granted temporary legal status to some immigrants brought here as children, or court decisions establishing the right to abortion and gay marriage, these were hard-fought victories. But the problem is that they are and can only be partial victories, dealing with only some aspects of oppression under this system, but not eliminating the oppression as a whole or the source of this oppression, which is the system itself. And as we are seeing, even where such partial victories are won, so long as this system remains in power, there will be powerful forces who will move to attack and undermine and seek to reverse even these partial gains. It is also very important to understand the difference between the possibility for certain individuals or even a certain section of the oppressed to improve their conditions or to make it under this system and the reality that for the masses of oppressed people, the only way they can escape their conditions of oppression is by abolishing the system that maintains them in these conditions. Of course, the rulers of this system and their political operatives and media mouthpieces are forever pointing to the success stories of people who have risen from the ranks of the poor and oppressed to become rich and famous, or at least to realize the great American dream of becoming middle class. This is like going to a casino, where by far, most who play are played for suckers and sink deeper into a hole, while every time there is a winner, it is loudly celebrated, often with bells, sirens, and so on, to make people believe that if they just keep playing, they too can become winners. This touches on something of great importance: the relation between individuals and the larger society and world of which they are a part. Everyone, of course, exists as an individual. But at the same time, the larger society and world establishes the conditions within which individuals exist and function and shapes their outlook and values. Even the aspirations and the felt needs of individuals are shaped in this way. To cite a simple example, no one in 1970 felt that they needed to be on their cell phone continually, because cell phones did not yet exist. But once people have them, they have great difficulty doing without them, as we know. Here, a formulation by the founder of communism, Karl Marx, a formulation that has come to be known as the four alls, is very relevant. Marx wrote that the communist revolution requires and involves the abolition of all class distinctions among people, the abolition of all the production relations, the economic relations on which those class distinctions rest, the abolition of all the social relations that correspond to those production relations, and the revolutionizing of all the ideas that correspond to those social relations. Among other important insights that can be gained from what Marx is getting at here is the understanding that while, again, people exist as individuals and their individuality is important and should be given due weight, overall it is the prevailing economic relations and the corresponding social relations and ideas that in a fundamental and overall sense shape individuals and individual aspirations. The divisions among people in a society like this, including the unequal and oppressive divisions between rich and poor, white and non-white, men and women, and so on, are real and objective. Democratic Party politicians keep saying things like, "Trump is dividing us instead of uniting us." But these divisions are not caused by the divisiveness of someone like Trump. Trump makes use of these divisions in pursuit of his fascist agenda, but neither he nor anyone else has caused or could have caused these divisions. They are rooted in the very nature, functioning, and requirements of this system in the way all this has historically evolved. To eliminate these divisions, it is necessary to eliminate this system.
So you just heard a moment ago from Bob Avakian, the revolutionary leader and architect of the new communism. That was an excerpt from his 2018 speech, Why We Need an Actual Revolution and How We Can Really Make Revolution, followed up by a brief interlude from the violinist Gabby Fluke Mogul. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'm proud to be and honored to be guest hosting today on behalf of Michael. And I want to let you know our final segment today is pretty, it's a deep segment building on and a lot of what we've heard so far. And keying off of something Michael just mentioned in that little clip he recorded from us for us, which is that there have been a series of unprincipled, really libelous attacks waged by some on the so-called left and picked up and amplified by outright fascists and media mouthpieces, very dangerous, against the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian, against the RevComs, against the broad movement, uniting people from many different perspectives and rise up for abortion rights, to fight for abortion rights. And Paul Street is a writer who did a very deep piece analyzing some of this. Andy Z interviewed him for the Revolution Nothing Less show that broadcast last night. I want to share that interview with you now.
I want to welcome my friend Paul Street, who's a labor historian and civil rights researcher by training. He's a prolific writer, author of 9 books, his latest being This Happened Here, Americanas, Neoliberals, and the Trumping of America. Paul is also a member, along with myself and my co-hosts Sansara Taylor and Coco Das, of the editorial board of Refuse Fascism. And as such, he's been very active in Rise Up for Abortion Rights, including going to Washington, D.C. in the run-up to the Supreme Court decision that took away the right to abortion. And Paul also writes regularly for the website Counterpunch. And on August 1st, he published a column titled, Why is the Left Red-Baiting Rise Up for Abortion Rights on the Eve of Fascist Destruction? So I am pleased that he is joining me today from Chicago via Zoom. Welcome, Paul Street.
Well, hi there, Andy. Glad to be here.
Okay, so Paul, you wrote at the beginning of your article the following. Rise Up for Abortion Rights, RU4AR, the organization that has led the struggle against the Christian fascist war on women's right to control their own reproductive lives. Each of the charges made against the organization is false and libelous, including preposterous and baseless claims of financial corruption. None of the false claims you write made against RU4AR is more provocative and chilling than the claim that it is nothing more than a front group for the Revolutionary Communist Party, which is in turn described as a cult under the spell of Bob Avakian. So I wonder if you could comment on this. And
well, you know, many of these charges rise literally to the level of libel, and are baseless and made without the slightest hint of evidence. This cult thing has resonated, and you've talked about a number of them on the show already, is my understanding. This cult thing resonates among certain liberal. Well, there's no ideology to it across the ideological spectrum with various groups and folks, including those on the left. I don't know if people know exactly what a cult is. A personality cult would be such that if Bob Avakian, the leader of the RevComs, were to overnight embrace Christian fundamentalism or become a militant 9/11 truther, an anti-vaxxer, or to become a kind of revisionist centrist social democrat or something like that, that all his followers would follow in line with that. And that's not the case of anyone that I've met associated with the RevComs at all. It's just utterly preposterous. In the claim of cult and cultism that's made, there's just no curiosity that I ever get from the people making this charge at all about what Avakian has written, what Avakian thinks, and why Avakian is considered a powerful and influential thinker among a whole bunch of people who consider themselves revolutionary socialists and communists. And I just, you know, I find that really quite extraordinary. And it's a really sort of preposterous charge, to say the least.
Yeah, maybe we'll get into this a bit later. It's a very dangerous charge. It's that the demonization of revolutionary leaders is a long history in this country, a long and a dangerous history. And when it gets combined with charges like of funneling money and things like this, all of which is, as you say, absolutely baseless, it creates a danger and towards a revolutionary leader. This country has never tolerated revolutionary leaders, and even leaders who are leading significant mass protests for reform, like Dr. King. You write in your piece on Counter Punch that this attack is especially reckless and insidious because of the historical moment in which it is taking place.
It's just absolutely extraordinary. It's one of the most curious and telling things about the attack is that it comes literally the day after the decision and is taken up by a liberal magazine that calls itself, named called Jezebel, by a progressive zine people are familiar with called The Intercept. And then it goes up on something called New York City for Abortion Rights and is signed by 23 repro groups. And, you know, this is what they chose to do on the day after the decision that abolished the 50-year constitutional right to an abortion. Not join us and others in the streets, in the public squares, not to launch a gerrymade of blistering, properly critical attacks on the decision, not to engage in direct action and shut down like we were advocating, not to call like we did, like Rise Up for Abortion Rights did for legal abortion across the land, but to issue a statement attacking the one leading top national organization that in a principled and militant and energized fashion, literally from the minute the Supreme Court took up this case in December of last year and all the way through the whole half year leading up to the decision, that argued against any advance surrender to a post-Roe era, and to develop techniques and direct action and slogans and rallies and marches and Instagram posts and the whole panoply of direct actions and social movement interventions to provide and prevent this decision in advance. The decision comes, and what the hell do they do? What do they do with this historical moment? They attack Rise Up for Abortion Rights, a united front organization in which, yes, there were RevCons, in which there were refused fascism people, in which there were liberals, in which there were progressives, in which there were moderates, everyone who was dedicated to direct militant social movement activism to try and shake the foundations of this country and send a message to Washington, D.C. You will not steal this fundamental human right that was won by struggle. The one organization that stayed true to how abortion rights were won in the very, very first place. And, you know, that's just incredibly telling and extraordinarily significant that that's how they decided to respond to that. Now, I've had people push back on me when I say this is like McCarthyism or this is like COINTELPRO. I actually think in some ways it's worse, because this attack on a left-led group, the red-baiting of the quote-unquote cult shaming of it, the red-baiting of it, the libeling of it, the baseless accusations of which are no evidence of financial misappropriation, of cultural appropriation, of the whole list of preposterous charges, comes at a particular moment in time where literally in this country, with the assault on abortion rights in as the leading spear of the attack, as the leading battering ram, is literally the bourgeois democracy, electoral democracy, and previously normative constitutional rule of law is now on potentially its last legs in this country. And they are calling out and demonizing and shaming and red baiting an organization, a united front organization, in a time where there's 440 million weapons in this country, in which there are just 30,000 militia members frothing, neo-fascist Americaners willing to do violence, and a vast police state on the edge of aiding and abetting these militias and fascists in the conclusion of the bourgeois democratic era. In some ways, it's worse than the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and what was done to the Haymarket martyrs and all that, because we are at the end. And they don't get this. They don't get this timing of this era that we're in. They don't understand that they're playing with fire, that they're aiding and abetting neo-fascism in a time when there's a mass base for neo-fascism and a whole part of the American ruling class has gone over to neo-fascism. And it's incredibly reckless and it's despicable, to be perfectly honest with you.
You propose 10 reasons why they might have done this, okay? And It did. I have to say, when I was rereading the article, it made me think of the late night talk show by David Letterman, who some of our audience probably knows and others don't. But every show, he would start with the top 10 reasons or the top 10 list.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a copy of tonight's top 10 list.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's tonight's top 10 list.
Forgive me, I'm going to do that with your top 10 list so that we can then go into two of the points in some depth in this interview. These haters have a commitment to insider strategies of elite lobbying and major party electioneering. Number two, fury at being called out for advanced surrender to the reversal of Roe versus Wade. Number three, jealousy. Rise Up for Abortion Rights has challenged the choice establishment's appeasement with great talent and elan. Number four, turf protection. Number five, clickbait, salacious conspiracy mongering. Number six, in an anti-communist witch hunt. Number seven, failure to grasp the dire historical moment and deprecate the RevCom's observation that we are now facing a fascist section of the ruling class. Number eight, fake socialist inability to grasp the necessity of revolution. The democratic socialists' pitifully tame commitment to incremental and economistic reformism. Number nine, sleepy woke uber identitarianism. And number 10, desire to appropriate RU4IR's tactics and absorb them into top-down insider strategy. So, look, I think those capture a whole lot of stuff. People should read the article and have some fun with it. So, Paul, first, I'd like to get into your points one through three sort of together. But the essence of it is that the Democrats and these NGOs, which stands for non-governmental organizations that have been the form and the agency of the pacification of struggle into social service. In other words, instead of struggle of the people for their rights, we set up these government, non-governmental organizations, charities, essentially, who are tied to politically and economically to social service and to channel any resistance they do mobilize into elections. So, for example, they sometimes will call a protest, but only for the purpose of channeling into voting and fundraising. And some of these small little leftist sects like the socialist feminist group that New York City for Abortion Rights, they do some clinic defense and they do some small things, but a small thing at the edges of the larger problem that people in this country are facing with this fascist juggernaut and a political opposition in the ruling class that is no opposition or not much of an opposition. So I think you had a number of observations on this that'd be worth hearing from you about.
It was really quite extraordinary the extent to which these groups, and you can see it in their literature, not only surrendered in advance to these organizations. I'm referring to the Democratic Party. I'm referring to Planned Parenthood. I'm referring to NARAL. And I've seen a lot of their literature and saw it over the half year leading up to the well-telegraphed Dobbs v. Jackson decision, not only surrendering in advance to the undoing of the 50-year constitutional right to an abortion, but sounding like they saw it as an opportunity to increase funds for their direct service operations. And I heard actually from Democratic Party folks in Iowa looking forward to the decision as an electoral opportunity, as something that would work for them in the midterm elections. And of course, that's how they're talking about it right now. They didn't, but not just after. Even before, you know, and beneath all of this is and this kind of opportunistic and cynicism is a contempt for the people, a contempt for the types of struggle that won right to an abortion in the first place. That's called social movements. That's called people in the streets and the public squares. That's called people shutting stuff down. That's called people confronting power. They have contempt for that. They have contempt for the rank and file. They have contempt for the grassroots. They want everything to be handled from the top up or the top or the middle out. You know, leave it to us. We know what we're doing. We're going to lobby. We're going to protect your rights with campaign funding and campaigns. We'll put the right people in the place. That doesn't work. That's not how anything that's been won that's worth defending in this country has ever been won. It's always taken social struggle in the streets. It's true of the labor movement, it's true of the civil rights movement, it's true of the anti-war movement, and it was certainly true of the women's rights movement in the 60s and the 70s. They don't like that. Because once you open the door to that kind of activism, people meet and they form organizations and they exchange ideas and they call into question the accommodations of the middle professional class and upper class elites. And they start talking about things like revolution, and they start talking about having a regular popular presence in the streets, you know, and this is the consistent line that was coming from the mainstream liberal establishment choice organizations throughout. Leave it to us. And that wasn't Rise Up's perspective. And they had to pay a price. They had to be penalized for doing that. We showed them up. Okay. There was a presence in the streets the minute that this decision came down saying, hell no, this decision must not stand, legal abortion across the land. Your approach didn't work. Your approach doesn't work. And to them, that's sinful. That's a horrific attitude to have taken, and must be penalized and must be punished and must be demonized.
And that was the voice of Paul Street. He was being interviewed by Andy Z on the Revolution Nothing Less show at youtube.com/therevcoms. I think we'll probably bring the second part of that interview next week to share with you. There's a second segment that hasn't been broadcast yet, but it's very deep. It goes further into some of the big questions of how we understand the world and American chauvinism and the difference between fake socialism that's just about trying to share the spoils of the American empire, but is terrified of and actually hates real revolution, and a real revolution that aims to lift this U.S. imperialist beast of America off the backs of the people of the world and emancipate humanity, genuine revolutionary communism. And we will be back next week. Michael Slate will be back with you soon. Thank you for tuning in. This has been Sansara Taylor.
All played out. We must broadly unite to carry out the fight to resist the crimes of this system. But on the real revolution is the only solution. So we need to call out things whose time has run out, which keep people in chains, suffering unbearable pain. These things are all played out. Capitalist vultures, big time and worldwide exploiters, preaching about personal responsibility, ranting about predators and criminality, terrorizing the youth in the inner cities, while you loot everywhere you see, slaughter people and rain destruction through crimes untold, all to enforce your rule and amass your gold on the backs of billions, chaining them in slavery new and old. Your time in history, it's gone. It's all played out. This puffed up stuff about the land of the free and the home of the brave, a country that built itself on bodies of slaves and ruthless genocidal robbery, that spreads its empire through plunder, driving countless people under, with its bloody red, white, and blue rag unfurled. All this pompous nonsense about the leader of the free world, that's all laid out. Vicious politicians and mindless mobs, screaming and threatening, hounding people driven from their homelands, growling and howling, speak English, go home. These fools aren't saying anything worthwhile in any tongue. It's the same old song they've always sung. Fade deeper in the shadows, suffer in silence while you slave. To create wealth we crave, it's our way, backed up by violence. This garbage is all laid out. People of privilege demanding their right to be a parasite, whining about how things aren't good like they used to be back in the day when things were done in an even worse way. Look you in the face, say it's not about race or keeping half of humanity down, but once you're in your place, if you're a woman or black or brown, what this is, it's all played out. Nigger, a homicidal epithet from days of slave ship nightmare, plantation overseers with whips, lynch mobs, racist whites on power trips, repeated still now by far too many, openly racist or hyped as hip and cool, frat boys blasting rap, who do they think they fool? Nigger, a word that bites deeper than a frothing rabid beast, that shouts the horror of centuries, cruelty and brutality, a word nobody should want to use, a word that just can't be made good, shout out to homies in the hood. This word and everything it stands for, it's long past time it be
all laid out.
Modern day Uncle Toms, respectable Negroes who squawk out toys, parrot lies of powers that be, packet slander is the truth, never fail to blame the youth, even slam them as our worst enemy. Oh, you bootlicking wannabe second class bourgeoisie, you're
all laid out.
Reverends and the rest, not ones who really stand with the oppressed, but those who strut and preach to keep the people down on their knees, suffering indignities, who put the blame on those unfree for ways that they are kept in misery. Pompous, self-righteous asses who breathe contempt for the masses. Fools who worship the powers that be, insisting that things stay locked within the bounds of bargains with the bourgeoisie.
All played out.
Backward-ass athletes and entertainers wearing a cross, slavish symbol of submission, never making it their mission to use their position to help people rise up, never raise a fist but point a foolish finger to the sky, giving praise, helping to spread the lie that in this system you can make it if you try. So if you're poor and beaten down, it's you to blame, never demanding to know why. If some supposed God controls all this, so many suffer needlessly. Shame should be on such a God if it existed. But all this God talk is just twisted. It's all in God's hands. Leave it to the Lord. Just help this system stay in power. When bowing down to lords and masters should be over, all this too is
all played out.
Falling for that game, caught up in those lies about Obama, how he's bringing peace and something really new, when he does the same as done before, still using torture, no better than John Hugh and that whole crew, waging unjust wars that never cease. You look the other way, time after time, day after day, at all the crimes against humanity under Obama's command and with his decree. He talks about getting beyond race. Just a different face that covers all too familiar murder and brutality by sneering pigs who hunt down youth in inner cities. You should know this game is
all played out.
Elections where if you're looking for a better world, no matter how you choose, yes, BS, you lose. You're always left deflated and frustrated because the politicians and elections are cogs in a machine, part of a system that runs and rules by treating human beings and the earth as things to be exploited and despoiled. Believing the hype, putting all your faith in this bourgeois democracy, this lie of people's sovereignty, come on, it's
all played out.
Placing your hand over your heart, honoring the rag of U.S. imperialism, doing your part to prove you are respectable, will do only what's acceptable, pledging allegiance to this flag, bowing down to this monstrosity that causes so much horror for humanity.
All played out.
I got my mind on my money and my money on my mind. That craziness about being like Scarface, acting without a trace of humanity, plundering and violating without remorse, killing and dying for no good purpose. Give it up. It's
all laid out.
Men thinking it's their right to order women around and misuse them, to degrade and abuse them, talking all that talk about bitches and hoes, and if she's pregnant she can't have an abortion because she should have kept her legs closed. Assertion of manhood or talk of protecting womanhood, which still means keeping women subordinated and dominated. All this garbage about women being less than man, less than fully human, that's
all laid out.
Disrespecting people who love someone of the same sex, treating them as objects of contempt, dogging them, beating them down for being different. Religious tradition encoding oppression, authority invoked to enforce suppression of sexuality in forms that are outside the norms that are proclaimed natural and God-ordained. Norms that in present reality enforce exploitation, perpetuate patriarchy, and male domination. All this too is
all laid out.
Shop until you drop. Buy, buy, buy. You are what you own. Your worth is what you purchase. I. Throngs gathering to scramble for the latest iToy rage. But not to resist injustice and endless outrage.
All laid out!
Tabloid addiction and gossip slinging. Treating as prominent what is really trivial. Making what really matters seem invisible. Acting like mobs in Roman arenas. Sneering and snarking with a vicious demeanor. Building yourself up by tearing other people down.
All laid out!
Putting up with all this. Even though you know it's wrong, being passive, thinking how they want you think, acting just to get along, singing that old song, that though the crimes are terrible and massive, nothing can be done about this, nothing can change, because of human nature, things are bound to be this way. Revolution, that was tried and it failed. Communism, voice dissent, they'll haul you off to jail. Communism, they take away your freedom. We say that's just wrong. Plus there's a new synthesis. There are speeches, books with deep analysis. But you don't read them, won't hear them or go near them. You remain in paralysis. Like that you're
all laid out.
A so-called left that, to tell the truth, finds it frightening and distasteful to change the world radically at its root. Disgraceful. A left that is content with posing, devoid of rage or joy, its passion spent, deceiving mimic, miming what it claims to be opposing, rejects the path of revolution, insists there can be only one solution that is viable and desirable, reform within the confines of this system, change conforming to the dictates of this brutal order, talks forever of democracy. Cover for dictatorship of bourgeoisie, politics of identity, that really comes back down to me. If it speaks of socialism, it is tired out, fried up dogma, no reality, lacking fire, ferment, and conviction, impoverished imagination, lowered vision. The change it talks about is paltry fiction, lifeless, desiccated, can't lead anyone to be emancipated. A left like that is
all laid out.
This whole damn system, root and source of all this madness.
All laid out.
Rupture, advance, beyond all that, no doubt. Putting an end to this insanity. Working for revolution to emancipate all humanity. That's what we got to be all about. All the rest that poses and opposes what cries out to be done. It needs to be over and gone.
Oh!